Perhaps you remember, in September, we took up these parables as they were contained in Mark chapter 4, because I was there for the four meetings, and it contained three parables and a parabolic application. Here, I'm supposed to be here for January and February, and we have seven parables and a parabolic application. And so that makes eight. And so now I'm able to give it to you in the fullness of exposition, because Matthew 13 contains this day of the giving of parables in the fullest extent. And so the parables that we took up before, we shan't take up again, but we will make reference to them. And today we want to start at verse 24. And so Matthew 13:24. But just remember that when he speaks in parables, the disciples ask him why. He said, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Verse 24. I'm reading from the 1901 version. Another parable said he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servants say unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he saith, nay, lest haply while ye gather up tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And now down at verse 36. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are angels. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that thou didst send thy Son from heaven to explain to us things that even your servants of old, never fully explained. We're thankful for shadows, types that you gave in times of old, but we are thankful for the fullness of explanation that thou didst give in thy Son. You sent forth your Son, who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so we thank you for the fullness of explanation that is given by thy Son, for these parables that he spoke, and for the interpretation that he gave. We give thee thanks, and we pray that this is the way that we shall understand the parables as we consider them. And so by thy Spirit, illumine us and empower us and cleanse us from our sins, that we may be clean vessels speaking the word of God. Prepare the heart of each one who is here, and may the good seed find fruition and find largeness to make them as thou wouldst have them to be. Undertake, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I wonder, since I've read Matthew 13 to you, as I look into your faces, just which parable in Matthew 13 is descriptive of you? Because all mankind is contained in one of these parables, or in more of these parables in Matthew chapter 13. And I trust that the parable that I read today is not descriptive of you if you are one of the tares, for this reason. If you are described in the first parable, the parable of the sower, then there is hope. Because even though there is only one class in the parable of the sower, and that is a class of sinners, still, that class changes. You have all sinners to start with, but the Lord Jesus goes and he sows the word of God, and when the parable ends, some of the sinners are no longer sinners, but they are sons of the kingdom. And so a change takes place. Thank God for that. If you are a sinner, it makes no difference. We are all sinners until we are born again. And as long as you are a sinner, and the Lord Jesus is sowing the word of God, attempting through the gospel to save your soul, all is well. I say all is well because there is hope for your salvation. But in the second parable, please notice that there is absolutely no attempt on the part of the man who owns that field to make any change in the crop that is growing in that field. Do you understand? In the first parable, you have four different kinds of soil. You have the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good soil. And seed falls upon all of these soils, and thank God the seed brings forth sons of the kingdom, at least in one part of these sinners. But all of them are alike. They're sinners needing the word of God to be saved. And that's what we have in parable one. But in the parable of the wheat and the tares, there is absolutely no effort on the part of the owner of that field to change the crop that is growing in that field. Their condition is fixed, and it is fixed permanently. Understand that. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. That's one crop. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat. And when it is discovered, the message given to those that ask, what are we going to do about this? There are wheat. There are tares growing in your fields. What are we going to do about it? He says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Did you notice the fixed condition that exists? In the parable of the tares, it is no longer the sower sowing seed to gain a crop of Christians from among sinners, but the crop has been gathered. And in parable 2, the crop that was successfully gathered in parable 1 is now planted in his field for other purposes. Please remember that. But at the same time, there are tares that are sown in that field. And even though God does not explain to us how those tares came into existence in that parable, still, I have no doubt that they came into existence the same way that the wheat came into existence that the man who owned that field sowed the field with that wheat. They came into existence by the preaching of the Word of God, because in the first parable of the sower, the Word of God is sown, and it is successful in part of the soil upon which it's sown in bringing forth fruit. And now, this is what I must tell you before I explain the rest of it. I must tell you how there is a progress in the symbols that are used in these parables, because you must understand that in the first parable, the seed is the Word of God. And the seed, which is the Word of God, is always the means that God uses to save sinners. He's not going to save you any other way than through the Word of God. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. The only way you're going to be saved is by the Word of God. Paul says in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. This is what he said to Timothy. From a child thou wast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to be saved is through the message that comes now from this inspired word. There is no other way. A man does not walk along and then he is miraculously saved without thinking, without knowing. The Lord Jesus says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send. And you get the knowledge of the Father and of the Son through this book. And so the Lord, using the Word to work upon the hearts of sinners, has been successful using that Word to save sinners. And now, that Word that showed sinners that they were so different from what the will of God was, that is contained in the Word, now that the Word of God has possessed them, has made new creatures out of them, now God describes them as identical to the Word itself. The Lord Jesus is he who says in John 17, I have given them thy Word. Notice, he said, I've given them thy Word. And in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. He is the Word, and he preaches the Word. He is identical with what he preached. And the Word of God has been successful in making sinners into new creatures in Christ Jesus. And so now God describes them as the very Word that was used to save them when the Lord Jesus went and preached the Scriptures, preached the Gospel. So keep that in mind. Now, I have told you that in the first parable, all of the saints, there are wayside sinners, stony ground sinners, thorny ground sinners and good ground sinners. And the Word of God saves those that fall into good ground. They were all the same at the start, but then there is a difference. But in the second parable, I told you that the Lord plants the seed not to convert, but he plants the seed, and these seed are those who have been converted in the first parable. And I told you how it was done, by sowing the word, by preaching the gospel, and some believed and they were saved. And now in the second parable, the Lord says, I'm not sowing seed to save sinners, but I'm taking sinners that have been saved, and I'm planting them in the world for the particular purposes that I have to carry out until I come, which we cannot examine at this time. But at the same time, Satan also has some that are his, and they are described not by the term wheat, good seed, but they are described by the term tares, and they are called the sons of the evil one. Now think, we have two crops in the second parable, the wheat and the tares, and they are wheat and they are tares, and the wheat is described as being sons of the kingdom. These are Christ's, truly Christ's. But the tares are called the sons of the evil one. They are Satan's possession. And I suggest this. I cannot show you absolutely from the Word of God, but I do know this, that even though all of us are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, still, we go through the world in that condition as sinners in need of God's salvation. But as we go along, some of us at a time in our life are confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive him as our Savior. We say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins upon the cross. I take you as my Lord and my Savior. And when that happens, then we are described as sons of the kingdom. But do you realize that some just as definitely go through life and they have an opportunity to receive that Savior, but there comes a time in their life when they say, no, I will not have the Lord Jesus as my Savior. It is an irrevocable choice, and then they become sons of the evil one. And their condition is fixed as much as the condition of the sons of the kingdom, the true children of God, is fixed. And this parable proves it, because it says, let them both grow together until the harvest. Notice, the wheat is growing, and who has ever heard of wheat turning into anything other than wheat? You say, wheat remains wheat, of course. And who has ever heard of a tear ever becoming anything other than a tear? It remains a tear. The Word of God can change a man in the first parable, but once he has been changed, once by an act of the will, a choice has been made for God or for Satan, then that condition is fixed. And as you hear Christians so often preaching eternal security, salvation of the saved, that means that once they trusted Christ as Savior, they are forever his. Well, sad to say, once a man has by a definite act of the will chosen Satan, then he is forever his. And in the coming day, some are going to take the mark 666 on the hand or on the forehead, and when they do that, there is no possibility of their being saved after that. Before, yes, but when they say, I choose to have the mark of the beast upon me, the end is decided. No more until then, but after that, no more. And so in one sense, I'm thankful for those that stumble through life and neglect so great salvation and say, come again at a more convenient season. At least they have not made the decision and Christ can save them. But for those who have thought the thing through and had said, I will not have this man to reign over me. And this is the way it's put in John chapter 8. Please listen. The Lord Jesus, in describing those that you would think were his own, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father, it is your will to do. It's not just that they happen to be that way. It says in John 3, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. It's not that you and I are just sinners and we go through life saying, oh God, what is life all about? And God shines upon you and you say, yes, it is not that. But these are people that have gone through life and they have seen light and they have seen darkness. And it says, they love darkness rather than light, a choice is in them. And we are all sinners. We are inclined to do the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of these things, we're inclined that way. But it says in John 8, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father, it is your will to do. And so some are not just sinners by chance, not cast about and tossed about by circumstances and by things of indifference, but they have made a definite choice, and they love darkness, and they love the will of Satan. And once that happens, then Satan says, you're mine, and I have things for you to do. And then Satan takes those that are tares. Please notice that in the first parable, Satan does not have that privilege. When the seed is sown, it says Satan comes, and he tries to snatch away the seed from those that are not his, that they may not become Christ. As long as a man is on, we'll call it neutral ground, Satan is trying to keep him from trusting Christ and trying to make him receive Satan as his master. We are not told how he is successful in chapter 1 of converting them to himself, but we are told in that first parable that he is successful in snatching the seed out of their heart and keeping them from believing. But how the process comes about that a man says, I love darkness, I want Satan, how he says that, I do not know. But I do find in this parable of the wheat and the tares, that the Lord Jesus is not seeking to convert the tares, and Satan can do absolutely nothing about changing the wheat. They're already wheat. They're like unto the word of God, which captured their heart, which made them new creatures in Christ Jesus. And so the condition is fixed, and it is going to abide. Now, let me tell you, I found this, that it says the tares are the sons of the evil one. This is the word in the Greek, paneros. Satan, their master, is called the evil one, and they are called the sons of the evil one. But farther along in the chapter, it says that in the coming day, the angels are going to come and sever the righteous from among the wicked. The wicked, the evil ones, from among the righteous. Here, the very name that their master Satan is given, this very name is given them. They are not only sons of the wicked one, but they are wicked themselves. They possess the same nature that their master does. And so this is what has happened. They have become like their master. They are going to continue to grow until the harvest. And I read in Revelation 22 the culmination of it all. The same word. It says, he that is just, let him be just still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And here is that word again. It says, he that is unjust, and that's the word, the one that is wicked, he that is unjust, that is a sinner, let him be a sinner, be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And so that's why I said I hope I'm not looking into the face of any of you who fall into the category of tares, those who have made their decision, because if so, I know what the rest of your life is going to be. It wasn't apparent at first, but now I see. It wasn't apparent at first just why the enemy came and sowed those tares among the wheat. We are not told. But by reading the parable and then the interpretation given by Christ, it all becomes apparent. It is this. It is that they might grow more and more like unto Satan who planted them in the field. You see, at first it wasn't apparent. When the wheat and the tares as seed were sown in the field, it says, when the blade sprang up, well, it wasn't so observable, so noticeable. But it says, when the fruit appeared, then the serpent said, why, in this field, there is not only wheat, there is also the tares. And then they went and told their master about it. He knew about it all along. But only when the fruit appeared was it evident. And so it is in the beginning. When people profess to be saved and they're thrown together, you see wheat and tares growing side by side, and you can't tell them apart. But the Lord Jesus said, by their fruits shall you know them. And soon it becomes apparent that this is not wheat, this is a tare, and by their fruits ye shall know them. And in the field, Satan has planted them, and here it is not stealing the seed so that men might be lost, but it is counterfeiting seed, like unto that which Christ sows, that by deception he may carry out his devices in the world. Because this is what is so important that you understand. In the first parable, one of the activities of Satan is keeping sinners from being saved. He snatches the word of God from their hearts that they might not believe and be saved. That is one of his activities. But this is what he knows. That in the second parable, once a man has been born again, he knows he cannot make him his possession after that. But inasmuch as he has not prevented him from becoming a child of God, he shall prevent his progress, his growth, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And that is his activity in the second parable. He wants to damn you in the first parable, but in the second parable, he wants to corrupt you. He wants to hinder you, and I'll show you how I know that. It says in the explanation that the Lord Jesus gives, it says that the Savior is going to send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. Notice two things. It says things that cause stumbling, and so that's why he put those tares there, that these tares might stumble the wheat, and also them that do iniquity, and this is the word lawlessness. It's the word that's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness, doth already work. And so Satan is at work not only among sinners to prevent their being saved, but he is at work in the church and in the world itself, preventing Christians from growing. Now, listen to these two things. The Lord Jesus says, when the servant industriously wants to go and separate the wheat from the tares, the Lord tells them that they are not competent to do that. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. And so if you have made an irrevocable decision to have Satan as your master, then the Lord Jesus is giving you this privilege. The privilege of growing, of developing, of becoming more and more like your master, Satan. And the lust of your master, it is your will to do. And as the Lord Jesus said, when the disciples told him about some people that were offended by what he preached, he said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and they will both fall into the ditch. The Lord says, let them alone. If you want Satan in this way, the Lord Jesus says, let them have it. Ephraim is a case not turned. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. It is a fearful thing when God says, let a man alone. They're going to fall in the ditch. The Lord says, let them alone. Why? Because he brought light. Light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light. The Lord never causes a man to fall and condemns him before light has come and man has had an opportunity. But when men have light and they love darkness rather than light, the Lord says, let them alone. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. And in this parable, the Savior says, let both grow together until the harvest. And then in time of the harvest, it's too late. Because in the harvest, their condition that was a tear at the first is the same as the last, except a full-grown tear, fully bearing fruit. And in the time of the harvest, the angel is going to come and pluck that tear out of the kingdom and cast into the furnace of fire. That is why it is such a fearful parable, this parable of the tares. Because in parable one, the Lord was seeking to save souls. But then we find that some said yes. And even though we are not told exactly what happened in its finality among the wayside hearers and the thorny ground hearers and the stony ground hearers, some of them said yes to Satan, as some said yes to the Savior. And they're both to grow together until the harvest. What is growth? He's told you. It said, but when the blade appeared and then the fruit appeared, then they were distinguishable. You see, Christ is allowing them to grow. At first, not very perceptible, but then they both grow and then it becomes perceptible. And what about the fruit of tares? The Lord says, let it grow. And what about the fruit of wheat? The Lord says, let it grow. And I'm going to give you portions of scripture showing the development of those that are Christ's and the development of those that are Satan's in this age until harvest. And this is what it says. It says in 2 Peter 3 concerning the Christian, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Listen to what Proverbs 4 says. It says, the pathway of the just is like the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And this is what Christ says. They are mine, they chose me, and now let them grow. And I told you the culmination of what is going to happen to those sons of the evil one. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. But it says the Christian is going to grow more and more unto the perfect day. Well, so the evil ones are going to grow in their prescribed area. And they're going to bring forth their fruit. And this is what God says concerning the lost, the tares. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax, shall increase, worse and worse. There'll be more and more evil, deceiving, and being deceived. Did you hear that? It didn't say these evil men are going to be saved, but those that are fixed, and I take it as those who have said absolutely no to Christ, it says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And just as the true Christian becomes more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, so evil men and seducers become more and more like Satan, their father, whose will it is their will to do. And so Christ says, let both grow together until the harvest. And so that's what's happening. Day by day, you who have said no to the Lord Jesus or become more and more like your master, Satan. You may not perceive it. You may not understand it, but you are. And so that is why I am pleading with you this morning not to go along in an indifferent way, for the simple reason that God will not tolerate such behavior. All of those who take lightly the commands and the exhortations and the pleadings in the Word of God to repent and be saved, to repent and turn from your sins, and they neglect it, they go through life, I'm afraid that at times the Lord Jesus stops drawing you and the influence of Satan comes upon you, and then God knows when, since you would not have the truth. And this is what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, some people receive not the love of the truth, and for this reason, God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He sets the truth before you day after day after day, and you receive not the love of the truth. And so he not only leaves you alone, but I'm applying this. He sends you a strong delusion that you might believe a lie, and he will send a Jehovah's Witness to your house. And he will send a Hare Krishna representative to your house. And you will say, this is what I want. And then, if you say yes to darkness, then that is your portion. And there is not going to be any change. Christ says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will send forth the reapers, and then they will do their work. And so this morning, I do not know into what category you fall. It may be that you are wheat. It may be that you are tares. God knows. I say, I do not know. And the Lord informs me that I do not know. If the Lord told me right now, go through this audience and take all the tares out, and put them in one side of the building, and take all the wheat out and put it in the other side of the building, I would be helpless. I do not know. Because some of you profess to be Christians, and you're children of the devil. You're children of Adam. And some of you, I might think, are lost, but it may be that you have touched the hem of his garment. If I have heard Peter, when he was denying Christ and cursing and saying he never knew him, I would say, that's a tear. Go over here. And had I seen Lot in the city of Sodom, I would have said, he is an unrighteous man. But God said, Lot is a righteous man. And that cursing, blaspheming sinner, Peter, is one of my apostles. And I would not have known. And so there are times that I may think that you are wheat, but you may turn out to be tares. And so the Lord says to me, no, you do not do that work. That activity is left to angels, and they do it infallibly. This is the wisdom that they have from God, because in the coming day, even though I may not know wheat and tares, it says in the coming day those angels are going to go forth, and they will take out every tare from his kingdom, and the wheat they will gather into Christ's barn. God has given them that discernment. I do not have it. But they do have it. But at the same time, the Lord has said to me, I am not giving angels the privilege of preaching the gospel. That is left entirely to Christians, with two exceptions, I will tell you. And then he says to angels, the preaching of the gospel is not yours. That is the Christian. I'm leaving it up to you to separate the sinners from the righteous in that coming day. Now, angels on occasion have been sent with messages, with good news to sinners. Before the Lord Jesus was born and after he was born, angelic beings came from heaven and they told Mary that she would bring forth a child and his name would be Jesus. His name will be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. What a wonderful message. That's what I'm telling you this morning, that the Lord Jesus has come from heaven. His name is Jesus. God sent him to save you from your sins. That's the same message the angels brought when the Lord Jesus came into the world. And I just heard this morning in Revelation chapter 14 that in the coming day, and we shall take it literally, it says an angel is going to fly in the heaven, and he has a message about fear God, reverence Him, serve Him, turn from your evil ways. But this is one instance I cannot accurately interpret it in Revelation 14. But here is an angel not dealing with you this morning, but he is from heaven with a great voice announcing to man about impending judgment. But other than instances like these, the Lord has told me, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is my business. And he says to angels, let sinners saved by the grace of God preach the message of salvation. And then Christ, wanting no mistake when it comes to gathering the tares and separating them from the wheat, because the Lord is not going by accident to have any wheat in hell and a tare in heaven. If it were up to me, I would make that mistake. But he sends forth the angels, and in that coming day, he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. And so, when that day comes, it's too late. Now, there can be rejoicing because a sinner has been saved. It says in Luke chapter 15 that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God because of one sinner who repents. That is the Lord Jesus sowing the seed, and the seed enters his heart, and he repents, and he confesses that he's a sin, and he trusts in the precious blood of Christ to cleanse him from that sin. But then, it says in Matthew 13 concerning the tares, in that coming day there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Now this morning there can be joy in the presence of the angels of God, or there can be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. What is your will? Is your will to have Christ or Satan? Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that Thou hast sent forth Thy Son from heaven to save sinful men. We are thankful for the long suffering of God. Let us know how lightly we have dealt with Your invitations for us to repent and be saved. Let us know how often we have been approached and dealt with about the salvation of our souls. And we have said at a more convenient season, or we have acted indifferently, we have taken this message lightly. Let us understand from the portion that we have read that as these things happen in our lives, we may soon be candidates to be choosers of Satan, lovers of darkness rather than light, that our choice is an irrevocable choice, and it will ultimately mean eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. By Thy grace this morning, by the power of Thy Spirit, forbid this and save souls. May the good seed of the Word of God find a place in the hearts of those who are here, and may they be converted and say, Christ is my Savior. And then may they have that joy for the rest of their life of growing in grace and in the knowledge of their Savior, the Lord Jesus. Their lives being light, the shining that gets greater and greater unto that perfect day. Let our lives be like the dawn and not like the darkness. Do for us what we cannot do, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.